الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقال سبحانه وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو كان الإيمان عند ثريا لناله رجل أو قال رجال من هؤلاء وفي رواية من أبناء فارس أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected مشايخ Respected ulama, respected elders, my brothers and my little ones, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The title allocated for today is The Manaqib of Imam Azam rahmatullahi alayh. The virtues of the greatest Imam, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh. But before I even begin, I'd like to make it clear that to lecture on any topic, never mind a topic so great and so important like the virtues of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, is very difficult when one's mind is occupied with what is happening with the Muslims worldwide at this moment in time. Having said this, it is still an honor to be here and to participate in this blessed gathering. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of all those that have made this conference possible and a success. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts my efforts to convey the message of Allah and His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. My brothers, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us of all the signs that were going to take place before the Day of Judgment, that were going to take place before Qiyamah. The minor as well as the major signs. And majority of the minor signs have appeared and appear at this moment in time as I address you. Ignorance is widespread, just like Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said 1400 years ago that it will be before the Day of Judgment. Killing is rampant. Oppression is on the increase worldwide. Fornication is no longer considered haram. The taking of intoxicants, wheeling and dealing in interest, breaking relations, making tall, lofty buildings. Majority of the signs have appeared.
One sign that appears at this moment in time is, and especially in England is, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the hour will not come till the latter part of this ummah will not curse, till the latter part of this ummah will begin to curse the former part of the ummah, the Salafus Salihin. You hear of youngsters today possessing the latest computers, the Pentiums, the laptops, that have access to these Islamic packages and programs pertaining to the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where at the touch of a button, hundreds and thousands of a hadith will appear before them on the screen. Youngsters which have not studied the deen, yet they have certified themselves to be scholars and act like scholars. These youngsters, knowing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, اُذْكُرُوا مَحَاسِنَ مَوْتَاكُمْ وَكُفُّوا أَنْ مَسَاوِيهِمْ, that make a mention of the good thing and the virtues of your dead, and refrain from mentioning the evils and their wrongs. Knowing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تُصُبُّ الْأَمْوَاتِ فَإِنَّهُمْ أَفْدَوْا إِلَى مَا قَدَّمُوا, that do not swear to your dead as they have reached to what they have sent forth. Knowing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَذْكُرُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ إِنْ يَكُونُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ تَأْثِمُوا وَإِنْ يَكُونُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَحَسْبُهُمْ مَا هُمْ فِيهِ, that do not make a mention of your dead except with good, as if these people are have become the inheritors of Jannah, then you will be sinful for doing this. And if these people have become the inhabitants of the fire of hell, then the punishment that they are receiving in hell, that is sufficient for them. Knowing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, الغيبة والنميمة يجبان في الإيمان كما يعدل الرأي الشجرة, that backbiting and slandering cuts away the imam just like a shepherd knocks off the leaves of a tree. Knowing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that any Muslim, any person that attributes even a single word to a Muslim which he has not said with the intention of defaming him, with the intention of mocking him, degrading him, then the Almighty Allah has taken it upon himself, he has made it compulsory upon himself, that he will keep this person in the fire of hell till he will be able to justify what he said. Knowing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said this, these youngsters are making a mockery of the deen of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by insulting, by criticizing, by ridiculing, and by mocking our Salafus Salihin, by mocking the great masters and the great scholars of the past, the very people that today, I am a Muslim because of these people, you are a Muslim because of these people. These people that are criticizing and mocking and ridiculing, these youngsters themselves are Muslims because of the Salafus Salihin, the very people who conveyed the Quran to us, the very people who conveyed the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us, the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the very people who conveyed all the teachings of the deen to us. These are the people that these youngsters have begun to ridicule, these youngsters have begun to mock, and these youngsters have begun to criticize. Okay, so and so scholar only knew a few hadith. I, at the touch of a button before me, have an access to hundreds and thousands of hadith. This proves that I am more knowledgeable than so and so scholar. The thing that hurts is simple, innocent, pure, clean-hearted Muslims are falling into the trap of these ignorant individuals. And one of those that is criticized is none other than Imam Azam, the greatest Imam of all time, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Yet Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was that person who was from amongst the Tabi'een. And the Tabi'een are those people regarding whom nor I, but the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and declares in the Quran, كي والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار and the سابقين الأولين from amongst the مهاجرين and أنصار and then making a mention of the تابعين the Quran says والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وعد لهم جنات تجري تحت الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم and those that follow him exactly what رضي الله عنه ورضوا عنه Allah is pleased with them and they with Allah and Allah has prepared for them gardens under which rivers flow in which they will remain forever and ever ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ That is the supreme success This is what a tabi'i is The tabi'i is that person regarding which Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said the hadith recorded by Imam al-Bukhari عن مسلم خير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم The best people are the people of my time Then mentioning the tabi'in The best people thereafter are the tabi'in Those that came after them Then it is the maqam and the status of those that came after them This is what the tabi'in were And the great Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was from amongst the tabi'in Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh is that person who is so maqbool in the eyes of Allah, who receives such acceptance in the eyes of Allah, that you will find over 100 million Muslims that follow his fiqh in Pakistan. You will find over 100 million Muslims in Hindustan that follow his fiqh. You will find 100 million Muslims in Bangladesh that follow his fiqh. All the Muslims of Afghanistan follow his fiqh. All the Muslims of Turkey follow his fiqh. You will find Muslims in Sham that follow his fiqh. You all the Muslims of Chechnya follow his fiqh. The Muslims of Bosnia follow his fiqh. The Muslims of Albania follow his fiqh. The Muslims of Uzbekistan follow his fiqh. The Muslims of Tajikistan follow his fiqh. The Muslims of Kazakhstan follow his fiqh. The Muslims of China follow his fiqh. The Muslims of Russia follow his fiqh. The Muslims of England follow his fiqh. The Muslims of America follow his fiqh. You will not find a single country in which there are Muslims in which there are not people that follow the fiqh. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. This is the acceptance that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh received from the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Hanifa is that person whose glad tidings were given by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates, كُنَّ جَلُوسًا عِنْدَ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ We were sitting with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the company of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Surah Jumu'ah was revealed upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verse وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to others amongst them who have not yet joined them but they will come. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in inquired, Ke ya Rasulullah, man ha'ulai, O Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were those people that have been mentioned in this verse of the Quran? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not give a reply. The question was posed a second time, a third time. The narrator says, Wafina Salman al-Farsi, Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was also present in the gathering. He was also sitting with us. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, placed his hand on the shoulders of Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو كان الإيمان عند سوريا لناله رجل أو قال رجال من هؤلاء وفي رواية من أبناء فارس that if Iman was next to the Suriya star, even then there will be a man from the children of Faris, from the Persians that would obtain and acquire its knowledge. The great Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayh, an all-round master, not a single subject that Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayh has not written on. He relates in Tabjid al-Sahifa, and Ibn Hajar al-Makki, an all-round master, relates in Al-Khairatul Hisan, that the person that has been referred to in this hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is none other than Imam Azam, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh is that very person that some masters of a hadith say that he has heard hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not once who has heard hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not from one sahabi but 8 sahabi the likes of Anas ibn Malik the likes of Jabir ibn Abdullah the likes of Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa the likes of Abdullah ibn Harith the likes of Wasilah ibn al-Asqa the likes of Abdullah ibn Unayth to name just a few He was the first to set the foundation of fiqh and record it in a proper manner according to subject matter. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is that person who required knowledge from 4,000 tabi'een. He acquired the knowledge of Umar, from the students of Umar, the knowledge of Ali, from the students of Ali, the knowledge of Ibn Mas'ud, from the students of Ibn Mas'ud, the knowledge of Ibn Abbas, from the students of Ibn Abbas. He is that person whose every student was a master himself. The light of Imam Abu Yusuf, the light of Imam Muhammad, the light of Imam Zuhr, rahmatullah alayhim, were shining stars themselves. He's that person, okay, no faqih, no jurist, no alim, no scholar, no muhaddith, no master of hadith, no mujtahid, has as many biographies written about him as Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. And then them biographers were not ordinary people, were not ordinary scholars, they were masters like Imam Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi, like Imam Sumayri rahmatullah alayhi, like Imam Zamakhshari rahmatullah alayhi, like Imam Khwarzi rahmatullah alayhi, like Imam Khurdari rahmatullah alayhi. Masters who were themselves fit to be the subject of full-blooded biographies. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is that person regarding whom a dream was seen in the month of Ramadan. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is digging up the grave of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are people all around watching, but nobody is stopping Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi from digging up the grave of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi takes a lot of earth. He throws it to the front, he throws it to the back, he throws it to the left, he throws it to the right, and the remainder he blows off. The narrator says, frightened with what I had seen, I immediately went to Basra, to the Imam of Interpretation of Dreams, Imam Ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayh. Ibn Sirin, when I informed Ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayh of what I had seen, Ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayh remarked that the person that you have seen in your dream is a great man. He asked, tell me, is he a faqih? Is he a master when it comes to Islamic jurisprudence? Or is he just a normal scholar? I replied, he's a master, he's a faqih. He replied, giving the interpretation of this dream, by Allah, he will reveal that knowledge of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which nobody else will be able to do so. And he will become famous in the east, he will become famous in the west, and he will become famous wherever he has thrown the earth. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is that person because of whom the great Imam Zahabi of Shir Ma'ani al-Athar was given life. For those that don't know who Imam Zahabi was, Imam Zahabi at the beginning was a Shafi'i because he studied under his uncle Imam Muzani rahmatullah alayhi, who was a Shafi'i, but later changed from a Shafi'i to a Hanafi. And the reason Imam Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi changed from a Shafi'i to a Hanafi was, he was studying by his uncle on one occasion. The masala came up that if a woman died while expecting and the child is still alive in her stomach, what should happen to that child? According to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, it is not permissible to cut open the stomach of that woman to take out the child. While Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi approves of it. When Imam Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi read this masala, he stood up and said, okay, how can I follow such an imam who doesn't even care for the likes of somebody like me? And the reason Imam Zahabi said this was that Imam Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi was still in his mother's stomach when his mother died, and Imam Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi was taken out according to the ruling and fatwa given by the Hanafi scholars. This is the person that these youngsters criticize. This is the person that they ridicule, and this is the person that they mock. Yet, masters of that time, the tabi'een themselves, the atba'u tabi'een, masters which would make your computers look silly, your computers would crash down, but these masters wouldn't crash down. From the top of their heads, they could relate hundreds and thousands of ahadith with the different chains without making a single mistake. The masters of that time, the scholars of that time, couldn't fault him. Listen to what the masters of that time say. Qais ibn Rabi says, أَدْرَكْتُ النَّاسِ وَجَعَلَفْتُهُمْ فَلَمْ أَرَى أَحَدًا أَفْقَى مِنْ أَبِي حَنِيفَةً. That I've met the people, I've met the scholars, and I sat with them, and I stayed in their gathering. فَلَمْ أَرَى أَحَدًا أَفْقَى مِنْ أَبِي حَنِيفَةً. But I've never seen a person more knowledgeable and more with a better understanding when it came to Islamic jurisprudence than Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. The great Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, النَّاسُ فِي الْفِقْهِ إِيَالُ أَبِي حَنِيفَةً. When it comes to Islamic jurisprudence, every human being is dependent on Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. The great Affan ibn Sayyar says, مثل أبي حنيفة مثل الطبيب الحاسك يعرف دواء كل داء. That the life of Abu Hanifa is like a very experienced doctor who knows the cure for every illness. Fadl ibn Musa al-Sinani says, كنا نختلف إلى المشايخ الحجاز والعراق فلم يكن مجلس أعظم بركة ولا أكثر نفعا من مجلس أبي حنيفة. That we would frequently visit the mashayikh, the masters of Hijaz and Iraq, and we would sit in their gatherings. But the thing that we found is, there was no gathering more blessed and more beneficial than the gathering of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. The master Ali ibn Asim would say, لو وزن علم أبي حنيفة بأهل زمانه لرجع علم أبي حنيفة. That if the knowledge of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was placed in one pan of the balance, and the knowledge of all the masters and scholars of his time placed in the other pan of the balance, the knowledge of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh would outweigh all the knowledge of the masters of his time. The great case of Nabi would say, أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ بِمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was not just the most knowledgeable person, he was the most knowledgeable person even when it came to the solutions of those problems that hadn't even occurred. The master Ibn Ziyad would say, كَانُ أَبُو حَنِيفَ بَحْرًا لَا يُدْرَكْ أَمْقُهُ. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was such an ocean, the depth of which could not be reached. Khalf ibn Ayyub would say, كان أبو حنيفة, Abu Hanifa was unique, he was incomparable, he was one in a billion. Ibn Qadam would say, we studied ilm al-kalam with Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he surpassed us all. We studied ilm al-zuhd with Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, yet again he overpowered us. We studied ilm al-fiqh with Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, فَجَاءَ بِمَا تَرَوْنَ. He has reached the level that you have seen yourself. The teacher, Shariq would say, رَجُلٌ تَرَى عَلَيْنَا لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنَّا غَلَبَ الْجَمِيعِ. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was a man that came. He was not amongst us, but he overpowered and surpassed a lot of us. The teacher of the great Imam Bukhari, the Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith, the great Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, an all-round master would say, كَهَاتُوا فِي الْعُلَمَا مِثْلَ أَبِي حَنِيفَ. Come and bring somebody like Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. خارجة ابن مصر would say, لَكِيتُ أَلْفَ عَالِمُ أَكْثَرُ لَمْ يَكُنْ وَاحِدٌ مِّنْهُمْ يُشْبِعُ أَبَا حَنِيفَ فِي الْبَصَرِ وَالْعِلْمِ وَالْأَقْلِ. That I have met over 1,000 scholars, not one resembles Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh in his insight, in his wisdom, in his intellectual reach, in his knowledge and his intellect. The great master of hadith, Abu Muhammad al-Harithi rahmatullah alayh, would say that the ulama and the general Muslims have benefited more from Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh than they have by all the masters put together. This was Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. The masters of his time couldn't fault him, yet these homemade scholars of the 21st century mock him, ridicule him, and criticize him. My brothers, criticizing is not a new thing. It is a fact that the greater the person, the more the enemies. The more the enemies, the more the criticism. Now people jealous of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh made allegations against Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh whilst Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was alive. When Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh met the great Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayh, Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayh, just like some of you, had received negative information and propaganda with regards to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Thus when he saw the great Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he addressed him by saying, كَأَنْتَ الَّذِي حَوَّلْتَ دِينَ جَدِّي بِالْقِيَاسِ. Are you the one that has changed the deen of my grandfather Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and given preference to analogy over the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh replied, Ma'azallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid. He then made Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayhi sit down and he explained by asking three questions. Go Imam Baqir, tell me, who is more weaker? Is it the man or is it the woman? Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayhi replied, "The woman is more weaker than man." Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi asked, with regards to inheritance, who receives the larger share? Is it the man or is it the woman? Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayhi replied, it is the man that receives the larger share. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, had I given qiyas preference over the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I would have said, because a woman is more weaker than a man with regards to inheritance, she should receive the greater share. Yet I am of the opinion, just like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that a man receives a greater share. The second question that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi posed was, But with regards to worship, which is the most superior form of worship? Is it the 5 daily prayers, or is it fasting in the month of Ramadan? Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayhi replied that the 5 daily prayers are more superior than fasting in the month of Ramadan. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said that had I given preference to qiyas over the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I would have said a woman when she becomes pure after menstruation, because namaz is superior to fasting, that she make up for the prayers that she's missed during menses, and do not make up for her fast which she has missed because of menstruation. Yet I'm of the opinion, just like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that a woman when she becomes pure from after menstruation, she does not make up for her prayer, yet she makes up for the fast that she's missed during this period. The third question that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi asked and posed was, tell me in your opinion, which is more impure? Is it urine or is it semen? Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayhi replied that semen is more impure than urine. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, okay, had I given preference to qiyas over the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I would have said, because urine is more impure than semen, then it is compulsory upon a person to have a bath after discharging urine. And it is not compulsory upon a person to have a bath after discharging semen. But I am of the opinion, just like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that a person has to have a bath after discharging semen, and a person doesn't have to have a bath after discharging urine. When everything came to light, and Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayhi realized that this was just propaganda, and what he had heard was false, he stood up and kissed the forehead of the great Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. So people made allegations against Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi whilst he was alive. The sad thing today is that criticism is coming from people that don't even know the Arabic alphabet, don't even know how to make istinja according to sunnah. Now I don't have the right to criticize a doctor when I, a charlie of the street, don't even know what paracetamol is. Nor do I have the right to criticize a dentist when I believe my teeth are in my head. Now say the criticism came from a master of that field, somebody who possessed knowledge, somebody who was something. Yet even his criticism with regards to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi will not be accepted when I've just made it clear to you that masters of his time, the tabi'een, the atba' tabi'een, agreed upon him and couldn't fault him. But just say for argument's sake it came from a master, somebody who possessed some knowledge, one to some degree would say, okay, let us analyze this. But how dare somebody who doesn't even know his left hand from his right, who doesn't even know how to make istinja according to sunnah, criticize and ridicule and mock the greatest of all imams, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. The reason they do this is, and has always been, like Ibn Ziyad rahmatullah alayh says, إِلَا يَتَكَلَّمُ فِي أَبِي حَنِيفَ إِلَّا رَجُلًا إِمَّا حَاسِدٌ لِعِلْمِهِ وَإِمَّا جَاهِلٌ بِالْعِلْمِ لَا يَعْرِفُ قَدْرَ حَمَلَتِهِ. That nobody speaks ill of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh except for two people. Either he is jealous because of the knowledge that he was blessed with and possessed, or either he is an ignorant man, he doesn't know what knowledge is, he has no value for knowledge and the bearers of knowledge. This is exactly the reason that these individuals mock and criticize Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, is because they are jealous of the knowledge that he possessed, or either because they are ignorant and have no value for knowledge and the bearers of knowledge. For those that just look at the works of Imam al-Tahawi rahmatullah alayh, like Sharh Ma'ani al-Athar, and the work Ahkam al-Quran of Abu Bakr al-Jassas, and the work al-Mabsut of Imam Sirakhsi rahmatullah alayh, will realize how much knowledge of hadith Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh possessed. The Imam was an all-round master. He was a born genius. And it was his intellectual reach and sharpness that made Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh the greatest of all imams. Just look at the sharpness of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Abdul Wahid ibn Ghiyath relates, كان أبو العباس التوسي سيء الرافي أبي حنيفة رحمة الله عليه. That أبو العباس التوسي was an enemy of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, and always intent upon harming Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. He held a high position in the Amir al-Mu'mineen Abu Ja'far's court. On one occasion, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh presented himself at the court for some piece of business. When Abu Abbas al-Tusi saw Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he said to his friends, "Al-yawma aqtulu Abu Hanifa, today I will kill Abu Hanifa, today I will make sure that Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh doesn't leave the court alive." Now, taking an opportunity, he poses a question to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh in the presence of the Amir al-Mu'mineen and asks, "Ke Abu Hanifa, it so happens sometimes that the Amir al-Mu'mineen orders us to put somebody to death without our knowledge whether this person is guilty or not. In circumstances like this, should we carry out the order of the Amir al-Mu'mineen or refuse to do so?" Now, what he wanted Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi to say was that a person in circumstances like this should not carry out the orders of the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And if Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi will say this, then the Amir al-Mu'mineen will behead him. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, instead of giving an answer, posed the question, "Can you tell me?" And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi tied him with his very own rope. "Can you tell me that in your opinion, are the orders of the Amir al-Mu'mineen right or wrong?" Now the Amir al-Mu'mineen there, Abu Abbas al-Tusi, cannot say that the orders of the Amir al-Mu'mineen are wrong, because if he say this, the Amir al-Mu'mineen will behead him. So he says that in my opinion, the orders of the Amir al-Mu'mineen are right. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi remarks, "Then why do you have a hesitation in carrying out something that is right?" On another occasion, the Amir al-Mu'mineen once offered Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh to take up the position of Qazi, judge. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh declined the offer. Yet again, the position was offered to him. But yet again, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh declined that, "I'm not fit for this position." The Amir al-Mu'mineen, becoming angry, said, "You're a liar." Now look at the sharpness of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. When the Amir al-Mu'mineen said that you're a liar, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh said, "Ke Amir al-Mu'mineen, you yourself have just decided that I'm not fit for this position. Because if I'm a liar, then a liar cannot be appointed as a qazi, cannot be appointed as a judge." This was the sharpness of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. On another occasion, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was sitting inside the masjid, surrounded by his students. A group of Kharijites came in, the students, on seeing the Kharijites fighting, began to run away. The Imam stopped them, consoled them, and told them to have no fear, and told them to retake their seats. The leader of Kharijites went to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and asked, "Who are you people?" Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi replied, "We are people seeking refuge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كَوَنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكْ فَأَجِرُوا حَتَّى يَسْمَأَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أَبْلِهُ مَأْمَنَةً. That even if a polytheist asks for refuge, you should give him refuge so that he may hear the words of Allah, and then you should escort him to a place of safety. Now the Kharija is considered every Muslim that